Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Brain Drizzle podcast. This week we have an actual topic and a guest returning for the second time, Andrew Maynard from the Risk Bites YouTube channel. Welcome back, Andrew.
Hi, good to be back, Hugh.
So this week we are going to, like I said, have an actual coherent topic discussing the recent 23andMe sort of versus FDA decision, because Andrew made a very sort of concise video sort of explaining that whole situation, and we'll link that video. But if you don't mind, Andrew, could you give people sort of the bullet points in case they haven't seen your video?
Sure. So 23andMe is a company that for the last several years has been providing direct-to-consumer genetic tests. So you can send a spit sample off, and in a few weeks' time, they'll give you access to a report that tells you everything from the most likely color of your eyes to whether you've got wet or dry earwax to your potential risk associated with a number of different diseases. And it's a service which was designed in part to educate you about what your genome tells you about your likelihood of doing certain things or having certain health outcomes in your life, as well as telling you things like who your ancestors might have been, who you're related to. FDA have been very uncomfortable about this for a number of years and have been talking to the company because in their eyes, this service is a medical device, something that they regulate. And things came to a head at the end of last week where FDA sent a very strong letter to the company saying, you are out of compliance. This is a medical device that requires certain assurances of accuracy, and we haven't had those assurances from you. And if you don't give them to us, we are going to shut you down. We are going to give you a cease and desist order from selling this product in the US market. And so that's where we are at the moment.
So now, based on this, has 23andMe actually stopped and started doing what they've asked, or have they just sort of kept going?
So 23andMe are still selling the kits. They've put out a fairly brief notice saying that they're trying as hard as possible to work with FDA. This is a very regrettable situation, and they certainly don't want to get on the wrong side of the FDA, but they are still actually selling their service at this moment.
So now I think the sort of FDA's claim is a bit of a gray area because it's such a new technology. So let's start with you, Andrew. I want to get your opinion, and then we'll talk about our opinion.
Yeah, so it is a challenge, and it really depends how you look at it as to whether this is really stretching FDA or not. And I come down on the side where I think this is a new area that FDA is really struggling with. But from FDA's position, anything which they classify as a device, which is something which either gives you diagnostics which are directly related to your health decisions or something which can actually impact your health, needs to be regulated by them. And they have multiple different classes of medical devices that they regulate. The most serious ones are a class 3 device where you have to prove to the FDA that this product is safe. It's not going to harm people before it goes onto the market. FDA are claiming that the 23andMe service is a class 3 medical device because in principle people can look at these health reports that they get and make health decisions which may be ill-informed. So for instance, one of the examples FDA cites is, what if somebody sees in their report that they've got a very high propensity for developing breast cancer, and they go ahead and get a double mastectomy on the basis of that report? And how awful would that be if 23andMe's reporting isn't that accurate? What happens if 23andMe come back and say, I'm sorry, we made a mistake about that. It's too late after the surgery has been conducted. So FDA are looking for rock-solid assurances that these analyses are as accurate as they can be, and they feel they haven't got that.
So I want to get to those medical diagnostic components, but first, Jack, what do you think about the decision?
Oh, I'm a little split on it. When I watched your video, it actually made me a little bit angry about the FDA stepping in. I think they're being too harsh. And I'm also a little distrustful about, maybe it's because I don't understand exactly, you know, what they would consider the device, what they would like need the device to be in compliance. And I'm worried that what if, you know, what if they make something and all of a sudden this company comes out of the blue saying, we make this, but you'll have to charge $500 for it, or, you know, some such nonsense. Or basically does something that drastically affects their intentions with this entire service.
And I think that that's been worrying a lot of people. And there are two strands here. There's that fear of, what happens if FDA comes down so heavy on 23andMe that they make it hard or impossible for them to carry out their business? Does that mean that nobody else is going to be able to offer this service to people that really want to know what their genetic code is saying? So that's a real worry. The other thing is a very personal thing. People want to know what is coded into their DNA. They want that information. They want to be able to play around with it. They want to delve into it and dive into it. And to many people, this FDA restriction is restricting them from getting access to something that's very personal to them.
Now, I actually had a question related to, like you said, what if they showed breast cancer risk? What if they show heart disease risk? How much do you know about 23andMe's sources? Like, when 23andMe sends you the results and they say, you have this risk, and this risk, do they, like, link back to a paper or something? Like, so is that basically just what the FDA wants? Like, what the basis of their evaluation is?
I think FDA want more than that. So 23andMe do a couple of things. First of all, they use a certified laboratory for carrying out the analyses. So those analyses are probably as good as you can get at the moment. But then in order to... So those analyses just tell you what the genetic sequence of small portions of your genome are. They then compare that with published information on how those genetic sequences correlate with different health endpoints and different diseases. And then the uncertainty is in how strong those correlations are. Have 23andMe read the science correctly, or is there still so much uncertainty over that science that they're being misleading? Now, to 23andMe's credit, they make it very clear that this is an evolving area, that you really can't use their analyses to make life-changing decisions. This is informational, rather than decisional information. Nevertheless, the likelihood is that people are going to be looking at this and trying to make decisions on it.
Well, I have a question: is that other than the fact that 23andMe does like a lot of different points of analysis, is there a major difference between the 23andMe kit and if you were to go in and get a sort of specific genetic test if you knew you had something and the doctor wanted to know more about it in terms of the quality of the correlation?
Sure. Well, one of the big differences is the cost. 23andMe is a lot cheaper than actually going for an official test through your physician. In terms of the actual test results, there's unlikely to be that much difference. It all comes down both to the interpretation and the counseling. So if you were to go to your doctor and say, I'm concerned about this, he authorized a test, you sent away your saliva, your blood sample, the results came back. That would then be much more professionally correlated with the state of the science, but also you'd have a counselor who would sit down with you and walk through the analysis and walk through the possible options of what this actually meant to you. With the 23andMe service, you don't get that counseling part of it. It's really up to you to decide what you do with your data.
Right, I see. Now, have there actually ever been instances where someone has done something a little bit overzealous with these results, or is this a very preemptive sort of...
I'm not aware of any cases, though it wouldn't surprise me if there are some cases. And the reason I say that is if you get your 23andMe test and you go back in and see the results, it's fairly specific. It'll give you a number of reports on very specific health risks, and it will begin to talk about how you can take preemptive action to minimize the impact of those health risks. So to somebody that is fairly desperate to avoid something or live a healthier life, this is almost like throwing them a lifeline. And there are going to be some people that are going to be grasping onto that lifeline despite all the caveats that there are here.
I feel like I have to agree with Jack that maybe the FDA is being a little bit too overcautious, because I can see that some people would go a bit too far with sort of statistics of their genetics. I think people probably do a lot more medical things based off things that aren't even science.
I think you're right. I mean, if you look at everything that people do, it's incredibly broad, all the way from dietary supplements to alternative medicines to really sort of fringe things. And I think so I'm actually with you here. I actually think that people are both more sensible than we sometimes give them credit for, and in an area like this, the benefits of them being able to make sense of themselves are much greater than the risks. But I guess there always are chances of people making foolish decisions, and unfortunately, this is one area that FDA does have regulatory control over, so they can actually step in and do something with that control.
Yeah, I guess I find it amusing that probably more people make medical decisions based off a horoscope or something than people who would go overboard with 23andMe results.
Right, right.
So, in the short term, could 23andMe get out of hot water if they just started giving people the sort of anecdotal things like the Erax type and the eye color and the ancestry, and they put the medical stuff on the back burner?
Oh, absolutely. So if they cut out the medical stuff entirely, they would be home free. The trouble is they then have a very poor product, and most of the people that subscribe to the service would be at their door demanding that they had access to the health risk information. So from a business perspective, I don't think that makes any sense, though it would obviously keep FDA happy. There's been some talk about them changing their language as well when it comes to health risks. Maybe if they put more caveats in there, they make it softer. But from what I've seen coming out of FDA, I think I can't see a situation where FDA are happy with any sort of health risk analysis being offered by 23andMe. It's hard to imagine a case where you can give health risk percentages and it be okay from FDA's perspective.
So with 23andMe not really doing much, does the FDA just sort of have to deal with it, or do you think they'll actually try and fully shut them down?
At the moment, based on the tone of the letter that they sent the other day, I think if 23andMe doesn't do anything, FDA will take legal action, which they can do, and they have a lot of muscle to be able to enforce.
But obviously 23andMe is international, so if they got shut down in America, would they still be offering services elsewhere?
Actually, really good question. And I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that. My sort of initial answer was going to be yes, of course they can continue internationally. But being a US-based company, I don't know how much jurisdiction FDA has in terms of shutting down their activities overseas. It may be that FDA has actually got more power than you might imagine. But I honestly don't know the answer to that one.
Because, it seems like if they only shut down the US operations, it seems like a really easy get around. You just get a friend. I'm in Canada. If Jack wants 23andMe, I order 23andMe, mail it to her, and then she mails it to me, and then I mail it back.
Yeah, it's the sort of drugs through Canada situation all over again, isn't it? So yes, you could see that happening. I don't think that would be particularly good for a US company. I mean, it's a way of keeping in business, but they'd have to make a conscious decision to circumvent the regulations here, I think.
Yeah, I guess. Well, it's interesting, and do you see are there any services like this? Obviously, 23andMe is really the only one that does this kind of whole genome thing. but are there other companies in this sort of area that could face scrutiny now that FDA is actually starting to do things?
There have been two or three companies that have offered similar services, direct-to-consumer genetic profiling. At least a couple of those have actually sort of come out of that market because they were struggling so much and have just started offering professional services. So at the moment, 23andMe is really the only significant game in town. Although that dynamic could change, there are certainly other companies there waiting in the wings. But that said, if the ruling stands against 23andMe, it's really hard to see how other companies could actually fill that space.
Well, I'm sure that if 23andMe was taken down, some other company doing the same thing would find a way to make their language like perfectly legal and start supplementing the.
I guess that's the business niche.
Yeah.
But it would be sad, I think. And I, again, this is speaking personally rather than from a regulatory perspective. I think the evidence so far is that people have been empowered by the information they've been given with this. And more than that, it's actually led to an increase in understanding on how you can begin to develop and build these correlations between genetic sequences and health outputs or endpoints.
I see. Well, it's definitely going to be interesting. Like, how fast do you think the situation is going to develop? Like a few weeks or a few months, or?
I guess the date that FDA gave 23andMe was early December. What was it? December the 16th. I'm just trying to read back through my my stuff in the letter. Either way, in fact, 23andMe had 15 working days from the letter being issued to take action. So this is going to play out really rapidly. If something doesn't happen within that 15-day window, you're going to see, in fact, even if it does happen at the end of that 15-day window, you're either going to see FDA saying they're in negotiations to try and get 23andMe fully operational, or they're going to be shut down.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yes, and whichever way it goes, I think there's going to be a lot of fallout because this situation is both forcing the FDA to think and probably rethink how they're going to regulate some of these growing technologies, which are giving people a lot of personal information about their lives and their health. At the same time, it's going to force some really deep thinking with companies that are actually providing this information. So I think this is one of those pivotal points where a lot is going to change in terms of this, for want of a better word, this quantified self movement, which is growing in momentum at the moment, where people are gathering and using this personal information. And this is one of those cases which is going to dictate which way this quantified self movement is going to go.
I realize it's hard to keep up with comments and whatnot, but based on your video, or based on like articles you've seen, how do you think public opinion is leaning toward FDA or 23andMe?
It's certainly split, but I think it's leaning slightly towards 23andMe from what I've read, although it's very hard to gauge just by reading commentaries. There have been one or two commentaries that have pointed out that actually, the correlations 23andMe have been trying to place together between genetic sequences and diseases aren't working out as well as they originally thought they should, because biology is just too complicated, or far more complicated than we thought. And there are some commentators that feel that actually this is a service that isn't going to promise or deliver what it promised to deliver. On the other hand, there are a lot of people out there that are very excited about this, even just excited about learning more about themselves. And that seems to be the slight balance of opinion at the moment, that this is a brand new exciting field, and FDA are just being commandingly and not letting this go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know, my opinion is, again, sort of divided. But because I haven't done 23andMe, I don't know how many disclaimers they have on their medical section. Or maybe they just have, like, a terms of use that no one reads, like every other terms of use.
They have quite a few disclaimers. I'm just trying to... So I haven't done it, but my two children have. And because at their age when they did it, I actually have access to all of their stuff. And the disclaimers are actually fairly sort of blatant here. So in fact, I can look at all the health-related stuff. And it says at the bottom of this fairly clearly, it says who did the tests. And then it says the tests haven't been approved by the FDA. And it says the information on this page is intended for research and educational purposes only, and it's not for diagnostic use. And so it's pretty obvious and pretty clear.
So now, with them potentially being shut down, do you think you might get it in before they get shut down?
Well, so I was seriously thinking about that. The trouble is, even if you sort of get your spit test and send it in, it takes a few weeks for them to do the analysis. So the chances are, if they are shut down, it would be illegal for them to send me my analysis back. So I'm going to wait till all this washes out.
Well, you know, I think we've talked about that a lot. So unless you want to talk more about sweet potatoes,
you might want to explain that comment.
By the way, I'm impressed you got the FDA video out in a day, and I realize how much production goes into one of your videos. So I was impressed that you released the FDA video in a day, and then like a day or two after, the day of this recording on a Wednesday, you released a video just confused about candied yams.
That's exactly it. So it this week was actually supposed to be the candied yams video, and the 23andMe thing just took over on Monday, so I really scrambled Monday evening to put together something short for that.
I see. Well, we're going to link your FDA video and your whole channel, obviously. So if you want to see either that video or the candied yams video, those are available. By the way, I have had Have you actually had candied yams?
Oh, yes. I've even tried cooking it before. And so this is my dirty little secret. I actually really like it, which I didn't admit in the video. But it is bizarre.
See, I think why it's so good, the one time I had it, we didn't add too much sugar. We had just a little bit of... Actually, we added brown sugar and butter. And I think why it's so good is the marshmallows add a nice texture on top.
Yeah. I would agree with you.
So, I guess if people find this video from that video, they'll know your dirty little secret.
They will, yes.
Well, Jack, unless you had something to add.
I do.
Okay.
After I watched your video, I actually scuttled over to the 23andMe website, and I watched this one video that they have on there, which worked as a testimonial. Basically, a woman, she's like, apparently this is a true story. This woman had been having like stomach aches and anemia her whole life, and she just felt like, well, that's just how my stomach works. That's just what happens when I eat stuff. But she got this 23andMe thing just because, you know, same reason everybody gets it, because, you know, they want to find out if they're Native American or something. That's why I would get it, to be perfectly honest, because I have no information of what tribe I came from, the ancestor came from back in the day. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, she went down to the... Anyway, she, ended up, like, looking at the medical part, and so did her doctor, and they actually ordered a test based on the information from the 23andMe to test for celiac disease, the thing where they can't have gluten. And she tested positive, and then she had her kids tested for the same disease, and one of them tested positive. So it was an instance of 23andMe being used to try to narrow something down to find out, you know, if she had something or not.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it does make you wonder how many people would actually use it in this way, just as a first filter to get them asking the right questions and to working with their physician on identifying things that are wrong and fixing them. And in that way, it seems like a really powerful tool.
Yeah, that's another thing. Now, to clarify myself, I can't remember if she got the test or if the doctor decided to have her get the test as just basically a cost-effective way of narrowing things down. I watched a couple of videos about it, and I might have gotten some wires crossed about right. whose story was what. But that one stuck out, which could be the root of the FDA's concern that it is being used like that.
Right, right. But to me, that's a positive thing. So, and if you go back to the FDA's example of the double mastectomy, I find it hard to get my head around this, because if you're going to have a double mastectomy, you've got to find a doctor who refers you. You've got to find a surgeon who actually does it. And I can't imagine a surgeon that will do it just because you wave a piece of paper in front of them and say, 23andMe told you you should do this. They're going to have a little bit more professional judgment than that.
But
yeah, exactly.
I'm assuming that if you wanted to do something that drastic, you would do other tests, like specific tests related to cancer.
You would have thought so, yes.
So, anyway, I just think about that. It does seem kind of silly. Also, I wondered if 23andMe, like, even if it's not perfect, if it looks at all these things, how are they so much cheaper than, like, individual tests?
Really good question, and I don't know anything about their business model, but I suspect that it's a combination of scale. They've got a very cheap collection system. They've got a lot of people having these tests, so they can they've probably cut a deal with the lab where they can push these through very inexpensively. But you may also find that single tests within the medical system, the prices there are somewhat inflated simply because there's a very different business model there.
I guess. I think it's like $100, right?
It's, yeah, $99.
And, you know, actually, it's funny. I've heard some podcasts that were actually sponsored by 23andMe.
Uh-huh.
So, hey, 23andMe, if you're still in business in 15 days, do consider sponsoring the Brain Chill podcast, because we are on your side.
We ought to send them this.
I plan on treating them this, definitely. So, that was interesting. We had serious discussion, yams, and then serious discussion again.
It was a good evening.
I wish I had some yams.
Yeah. So the last piece of trivia, actually, from the Candid Yams video, which I didn't know until I prepared it this morning, and that is sweet potatoes are not yams, even though people call them yams. They sort of resonate with people who reminisce about yams from Africa.
Yeah, I think, like, culinarily, in terms of texture and flavor, they're probably quite similar.
And they look alike. Sweet potatoes are a bit darker, though.
Yeah, they certainly look alike.
But, yeah. So, also, I guess, since I know you're not American, but you're in America, so happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm Canadian, so I had mine last month.
I would say happy Thanksgiving past for you, but...
Well, and happy Thanksgiving to Jack, too.
Yes.
Yay!
Well, I think that just about wraps it up.
I actually have one more comment. I think it's interesting how the example they use is about a woman getting a double mastectomy based on 23andMe's thing, kind of correlates with Angelina Jolie doing the same thing based on a genetic test. I mean, I almost wonder if maybe they're trying to use the public's ignorance against the public to try to get people behind them as opposed to 23andMe, because the genetic test that Angelina Jolie got was a specific test for us that looked for a specific gene. It was nothing like what 23andMe does.
Right, though actually the gene sequences within that test are actually covered within 23andMe, so they will actually give you similar information. But it's a really interesting correlation and a really interesting question.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, but a doctor signed off on her doing that. Not only that, but it's her body. She can do what she wants with it.
Absolutely, yes.
I guess we'll just have to see what happens in the next few days, and maybe we'll have to get you back on for a third time.
We'll have to see. You know where I am.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Again, thank you, Andrew, for coming back on the show. And we promise next week we'll start talking about random and obscure science things and get off of all this mainstream stuff.
Okay, thanks very much, Q. Thanks very much, Jack.
All right, and we'll probably cut it there. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Boop. Bye.
I'll hang you up. Boop. There we go. Hang on, well.
I do too.
Please tell me the recording didn't fuck up at all.
Nope.
Hooray!
It went perfect, although my hips hurt because I had to. I basically decided to stand exactly still. Well, sit exactly still.
I am thirsty as balls. One second.
Okay.